Chesterfield presents The Bob Hope Show, direct from the Naval Training Center in San Diego, California. Transcribed with Les Brown and his band of renown. For Chesterfield, yours truly, Hi Everback. Our special guests, Gracie Allen, Jerry Colonna, and the Bell Sisters. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am at the U.S. Naval Training Station in San Diego for Chesterfields and Navy. And these sailors gave me a very peculiar welcome when I arrived here. Now I know why they call them boots. These sailors here are all training. The only water action they've seen up to now was in a San Diego laundromat. I know this area. I get around, boy. And it's no accident that this training station is located in San Diego. Tijuana's so handy for maneuvers. But I want to tell you that during the training period here, discipline is very strict, and the fellas never see any girls. It's so bad, one guy is going steady with his tattoo. But the men really love the Navy. One guy just signed up for another 4 years. I said, are you going to make the Navy your career? And he said, no, I just want to finish paying for my pea jacket. And now I know why a sailor has a girl in every port. With all those buttons, someone's got to do the sewing. But the real big news is that spring is here. This is the time of the year when the birds and the bees follow the sailors and take notes. Spring is the season when little green things start poking their heads out of Crosby's wallet. But I love spring and... What joke are you working on? And it's spring in Washington, and all the Republicans are ready to. Spring had a tough time arriving in Washington. Senator McCarthy saw the first red robin and wanted to investigate the whole thing. And Senator Keith Farver was first to know it was spring in Washington. His coonskin hat chased a cat up a tree. The Republican cat. Crazy cat. But Taft would love to know how Eisenhower does his spring cleaning. Eisenhower stayed in Paris, and he mopped up 3,000 miles away in New Hampshire.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week our show originates at the San Diego Naval Training Center. But now, let's go back earlier in the week and see what preparations were made for the show. First, Bob went to see a music publisher to arrange for the appearance of the new hit singing team, the Bell Sisters.
Let's see, the office ought to be right down the hall. Oh, here it is, the Pollock Publishing Company. Must be quite an outfit. They got a fur door knocker.
Let go of my mustache or I'll bite your thumb off.
Professor Colonna.
Well, a fur door knocker. Well.
Colonna, what are you doing here?
I'm president of this company.
You are, huh?
Yes.
Well, what can you possibly know about music?
Well, everything. Right now, I'm working on a new number, the Professor Colonna Suite.
Your suite?
Thanks, Hope. I've always been fond of you, too.
Kelowna, when you get married, pick out a very smart girl or else all your children will be idiots.
Okay, Dad.
Let's not waste time, Kelowna. I understand your company handles the Bell Sisters.
That's right. I believe they're around here someplace. Let's try this recording room.
Oh, you do? Yes.
Oh, my mistake. In this room, we're pressing a Sinatra side.
Kelowna, you're actually pressing Sinatra.
You didn't think he looked that way naturally.
Now, what about the Bell Sisters?
Oh, let's try the next room. Oh, wrong again. In this room, I'm just finishing one of the classics.
Kelowna, what classic were you finishing?
Tchaikovsky's Fifth. Oh, I'm sure the Bell Sisters are in this room. Oh, hello, girl.
Hello, Mr. Kelowna.
Girls, I know you're much too young for this kind of a shock, but this is Bob Hope.
Hello, girls. Which one of you is which?
I'm Kay, and I'm 12 years old. My name is Cynthia, and I'm 16.
16. 16. Boy, how I'd like to be 16 again.
Oh, that's easy. Just divide your age by four.
Down, you mattress mouth. Well, girls, I'd like very much to have you come to San... Have you seen my fur durnocker? Girls. You're going to snicker all night. I'm not going to snicker. Girls. You're still there, aren't you? Girls, I'd like very much to have you come to San Diego and be on my show.
We'd love to, Mr. Hope.
Well, I think the two of you would add a nice touch. You're so young and fresh, and you seem so unspoiled by your success.
I love being on your show. How about you, Kay? Well, what about the loot?
I love that. 12 years old, loot. I didn't know Crosby had a daughter. Say, Kay, you know I have a daughter just about your age.
Really? What's her address?
Why?
I like to write to her and cheer her up.
This kid's a musical delinquent. By the way, Cynthia, is it true that you wrote the best-selling hit for Muta?
That's right, Mr. Hope.
Well, I think that's wonderful. 16 years old and writing hit songs. When did you get interested in music?
I guess I've been that way all my life. When I was a baby, I used to listen to Bing Crosby records.
I got news for you. When I was a baby, I listened to Crosby records. But if you see my fur gurnocker, that's... Girls, let's hear the song you're going to do on the show.
Okay, Mr. Hope. Down in Bermuda, paradise for two, I lost my lover there on the blue. We went sailing on the coral sea, starlit waters, my darling and me. Time was endless, love sang its song, we'd be up tomorrow.
out so clear and gold. Oh, it's my loved one.
Only a half-hour show, you know. And they're going to come back in the after show. That's wonderful, girls. That's real great. Thank you very much. Hey, look at the time. I got to get back to my house. I'm meeting Gracie Allen there for a script rehearsal.
See you later, Mr. Holt.
Goodbye, kids.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Gracie Allen. Gracie, it's been so long since I've seen you, and I must say you look wonderful.
Well, thanks. So do you.
You haven't changed since the first day we met. You know, you still look like that same sweet girl.
Thank you. So do you.
Well, she's off and running. Tell me, Gracie, how's George?
George who?
George Burns, your husband.
Oh, him. Oh, he's fine. I saw him on a television show last week.
Now, wait a minute. I saw that show. You were on with him.
Last Thursday night?
That's right.
Oh, you know, I wondered who that cute girl was.
Shall we get the rehearsal started? We're way off schedule.
Oh, well, now that's my fault. I'm sorry I didn't get here on time, Bob.
Well, what kept you?
Well, on the way over here, I stopped my car at a street corner. There was a sign that said school crossing.
So?
So, I waited a half hour, no school cross.
That sounds just like a woman driver.
Well, I have to be. George wouldn't like it if he were married to a man driver.
Look, let's get on with this thing. As you know, we're doing our broadcast for the Navy, and our writers thought...
You know, my Uncle Harvey was in the Navy.
Oh, swell. Now, we figured...
And Uncle Harvey had a terrible experience in the Navy.
What do you mean?
He tried to enlist.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
They accepted him.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, Gracie, on our show, we're going to do a sketch.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And in this sketch, you play the part of a wave.
A wave?
Yeah, you know, a sailor will wear skirts.
Oh, do they let them do that?
No, no, a wave is a lady sailor. Remember, there are lots of women in the Navy.
Oh, well, now that's wonderful. They must be good company for the boys.
No, Gracie, no. The waves do a lot of jobs in the Navy that the men don't want to be bothered with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. I understand. understand that perfectly. You know, an admiral wouldn't want to stop what he's doing just to have a baby.
Now, what about our sketch?
Well, and I think an admiral should
now,
do
hold
what
it, hold
supposed...
it, please, please. Excuse me, Gracie, I'd like to talk to Hi for a minute.
Yeah, oh, certainly.
Yeah.
What is it, Bob?
Well, Hi, what am I going to do? I can't get Gracie to concentrate on the script.
Well, I think she's always this way, Bob. There's nothing really wrong with her. Well, I think the trouble is she's not used to working with anybody but George.
Well, how can I get her to relax?
Well, maybe if you talk to her quietly and hold her hand.
Well, it's worth a try. Oh, Gracie.
Yes?
Would you come here a minute?
Yeah.
Why don't you come over and sit here in the love seat with
me?
Oh,
no, you don't.
What's the matter?
I know you men. You ask a girl to sit on a love seat, and then you try to put your arms around her and kiss her.
That's not true.
You mean you don't do any of those things?
No.
Well, then I'm not going to sit down.
Oh, come on.
Well, all right.
There. That Bermuda got her. Well, all right. Now, just let... Have you seen my fur Gernacker? You haven't. Look, honey, let me just hold your hand and put my arm around your shoulders. I just want you to relax, see? Now, put everything out of your mind and just forget everything. Relax, Gracie. Relax. There. Now, how do you feel? No, I put her to sleep. Gracie! Wake up, Gracie!
Oh, well, good morning, George.
Oh, look, Gracie, we got a show to do, and we must rehearse.
Well, we better do it at my house. I've got to get there right away.
Why?
Well, I've got a chicken cooking in the oven, and the gas has to be turned off in 10 minutes.
Well, do you have to do it?
Well, certainly. The chicken will never be able to reach the knob.
No.
Right now, Bob Hope is on his way to Gracie Allen's house, where he hopes to complete the rehearsal for his broadcast. What Bob doesn't know is that Gracie has mistaken his friendliness for affection. She thinks he's in love with her. As a matter of fact, Gracie's at home right now, telling her neighbor, Blanche Morton, all about it.
Gracie, what's the idea of calling me over here so suddenly? I was on my way to the market.
Well, there's something very important I have to tell you.
What is it?
Blanche, can you keep a secret?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you anyway.
Come on, Gracie, tell me.
Well, all right, Blanche. Now, somebody other than George has fallen in love with me.
Oh, no. Who is it? Who is it?
Well, all I can do is give you a hint. This man... Oh, by the way, did I tell you it was a man?
No, but that's the best arrangement.
Well, anyway, this man is a famous star of stage, screen, radio, and television. His specialty is entertaining troops all over the world. He plays a wonderful game of golf, and his name is Bob Hope.
I wonder who that could be. Well, Gracie, don't stand there and tell me that Bob Hope is in love with you.
Well, I can understand it. After all, lots of older men fall in love with younger women.
Gracie, where'd you ever get this mad idea?
Well, I was over at Bob's house for a radio rehearsal. First he asked me to sit on the love seat, and then he put his arm around me, and he held my hand.
Oh, I'll bet he was just trying to be friendly.
Oh, no, no, you can't fool me. I know men. I read a book all about them.
What book?
The Boy Scout Manual.
Gracie, there's nothing about love or romance in the Boy Scout Manual.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. How do you think they start fires without matches?
Well, I must say you picked a very interesting man for your pipe dream.
Well, he's not really bad looking, is he?
No, he's not. except for his nose.
Oh? What's the matter with his nose?
Well, didn't you notice it? That big thing sticking out of his face?
Oh, is that his nose? You know, I thought he was wearing a jockey cap.
Well, Gracie, what are you going to do about the situation?
Well, you know, I don't know what to do. That's why I asked you to come over so we could have a man-to-man talk.
Look, why don't you just tell him that you're happily married?
No, he wouldn't pay any attention. He's too crazy about me.
Well, Gracie, there's one sure way to get rid of a man.
What's that?
Well, men can't stand having the play taken away from them. They hate aggressive women. That's because they want to be aggressive and forceful.
Oh, you know, that's so true.
You be the aggressor. Fall all over him. Act bold. Look bold.
Look bold?
Yeah. Have you got a real daring dress? Have you got anything that's backless?
Just George.
Yeah, well, do the best you can. Now, Gracie, as soon as Hope steps in the door...
Now, let's see. Gracie's number is 312. I'll just... Oh, hello, Gracie. Here I am, right on time for the rehearsal.
Come in, Bob.
Say, you know, I always try to... Wowee! Gracie, you're all dressed up.
Well, I always try to dress for special occasions.
You even got a poodle haircut.
Yes, I hope it looks nice. I had to do it myself.
Why?
Well, I looked all over town, but I couldn't find a poodle who knows how to cut hair.
That figured. Well, you certainly do look wonderful, and... Are you wearing perfume?
Yes. You know, the girl at the store said to put some behind each ear, but I could only get a little on.
How come?
Well, you have no idea how hard it was to get my ears in the bottle.
Isn't that just like a woman? Anything for vanity.
Now, don't be disrespectful about women. There are a lot of us, you know.
That's true. Whenever you see someone that's not a man, you can bet your life it's a woman.
You know something? We think alike.
Yes, I know, and I'm scared. Well, what do you say, Gracie? Should we start the rehearsal? I brought a couple of scripts.
Oh, put those scripts away, Bobby boy. This is it.
What?
There's no use pretending any longer. This is the main event.
Gracie, what are you talking about?
I know you're mad about me, handsome, but you can't help yourself. You're just a moth caught in my flame.
Steady, Gracie.
Oh. Take me in your arms, you fool, and kiss me. You've got just the kind of lips I like. One on the top and one on the bottom.
Boy, I bet you'd look wonderful in a strapless straitjacket.
Oh, don't joke, lover boy. I've got it all figured out. Right after the broadcast in San Diego, I'll slip across the border and you meet me in Tijuana.
Really, Gracie, this is too much.
Well, I'll disguise myself, but you'll know me. I'll be standing on the main street dressed as a cucaracha.
I'll be there with a DDT.
You know?
What?
On second thought, though, maybe we better not go to Mexico.
Why not?
I can't speak French.
Gracie, maybe I'm sick, but I don't get any of this.
Oh, I know. I know you're trying to play dumb just to protect me. But when we're sitting on the love seat at your house, you held my hand. Well, that was a dead giveaway. You're mad about me.
But, Gracie, I was just trying to be friendly and make you feel at home.
Oh? Then you're not in love with me?
No, of course not.
Oh, gee, that's a load off my mind. Oh, you know, the whole thing was silly. George would never let me run away with you. He'd never forgive me.
I know.
Why, I'm George's life. He'd be lost without me. He'd never let me go. Oh, excuse me, Bob. Hello? Yes? Uh-huh. Well, of all the nerves.
Who was that?
George. He says if we'll wait till Sunday to run away, he'll let us have the car.
All thanks for the memory of every new recruit who's now a Navy boot. The way you've trained, you have attained the right to our salute. And we thank you so much.
Yes, sir, thanks to Captain Monroe, Commander McLean, and Lieutenant Tossel for the Navy hospitality here at San Diego. The beans were a hoot. And you know, it's nice having Gracie Allen with us today. And I know the boys will go out of here tonight just trying to figure out. She's great. Thanks to the Carnation Milk Company for loaning us the lady. And the Bell Sisters are dolls. He says the sailors, I'm sure, will attest to that. Also, Brush Kelowna. See you next week.
Be sure to listen to the Bob Hope Show next week from Barstow, California, with our special guests, Claudette Colbert and Joanne Greer. Chesterfield is brought to you the Bob Hope Show, written by Larry Gelbart, Larry Marston, Larry Klein, and transcribed direct from San Diego, California.
You're listening to Same Time, Same Station, the best of old-time radio. And I'm your host, Jerry Hendigas. Well, concluding this tribute to a very great humanitarian, we now have another top Bob Hope movie. In this program, Bob stars with his road picture cohort, Dorothy L'Amour, along with Phyllis Ruth, as from February 15, 1943, we listen to the 131st episode of the Screen Guild Theater. They got me covered. And Bob, thank you for the memories.
Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild Players. The Screen Guild play tonight, They Got Me Covered. The starring players...
This is Bob Hope.
This is Dorothy L'Amour.
And this is Phyllis Ruth.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in an exciting radio preview of Samuel Goldwyn's comedy hit... They Got Me Covered, starring Bob Hope, Dorothy L'Amour, and Phyllis Ruth. When Bob Kittredge was a foreign correspondent for the Amalgamated News Agency, a Romanian named Gregory Vanescu supplied him with news tips and stories. And when Bob returned to the United States, Vanescu followed him, and the Gestapo followed Vanescu. In fact, the Gestapo was only a few steps behind him when Gregory Vanescu sneaked into the Washington, D.C. office of the Amalgamated News Agency and whispered,
Kittredge.
Well, well, Gregory Vanescu.
Shh.
I haven't seen you since somebody tried to slice your throat that night in Istanbul. What some people will do to get meat.
Somebody's trying to kill me tonight, too. These men are trying to stop me from giving you the biggest news story of your career.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let me hear the story.
Bob had been fired by the Amalgamated News Agency. But he knew that if he could uncover a big news story, he'd not only get his job back, but help his standing with Christina Hill. However, before Vanescu could give Bob the news scoop... The Gestapo agents were shooting at him, and he had to run. But not before Bob had talked Christina into giving Vanescu $5,000 of the news agency's money to pay for the story they didn't get.
We've got to raise the money to pay back the firm, Bob. I've got $400 in the bank. That leaves us $4,600 short. Have you got any money?
Just $6.87 and a Wilkie button. The one I wear over my Hoover button.
Can you raise any?
Yeah, I can sell my body to a medical school. Just think what they'll give me for my shoes alone. Amalgamated News Agency, Kittredge speaking.
This is Vanescu. Listen closely and don't interrupt me. Send a stenographer to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial at midnight. She must carry a red purse and a green umbrella.
Isn't that a little gaudy?
Shh. You must not come with her. Because the Gestapo agents saw me in your office, They will recognize you. Have the stenographer bring a big notebook and I will dictate the whole story to her. Goodbye.
Who was it, Bob?
Good old Vanescu. He wants you to meet him at the Lincoln Memorial, wearing a red purse and a green umbrella.
Well, won't I be a little cold that way?
Well, you're used to it. Hey. Say, look. Look. Sorry. Look, Chris, this is no time for sentiment. Do you have those things?
Well, I've got a red purse at home, and one of the girls living with me, Sally, has a green umbrella.
Oh, swell. Call her and ask her to meet us at the Lincoln Memorial. Tell her to bring a big notebook, too. Do you see Sally anywhere, Chris?
No. Let's ask that officer over there if he saw her.
Yeah. Say, officer.
Yes?
Do you see a green girl around here carrying a red umbrella?
What?
Oh, how silly of me. I mean, do you see a green pocketbook with a red girl carrying an umbrella?
Yes. She got into a car with some men right here just a few minutes ago.
Oh, thanks. Well, Chris, guess we'd better go home and wait, huh?
Go home? Why, the evening's young yet. There must be lots of trouble you can still get into.
Oh, Chris, stop riding me. After all, everyone makes mistakes. Is it my fault I'm good at it?
It's all you're good for. It's bad enough when you get me all wound up in your crazy schemes. I deserve it for being dope enough to be in love with you. What about Sally? She doesn't even like you.
Oh, she will. I'm an acquired taste. No one likes me right off. Why, I was 14 years old before my mother would let me into the house. Dad didn't get in till he was 15. Now, look, honey. Sally's been taken to see Vanescu. He's going to dictate the story that's going to get us out of a $5,000 jam. He isn't going to harm her. He's a gentleman.
Gentleman? Vanescu's a cutthroat, and you know it.
Vanescu's a cutthroat? Don't be silly. Vanescu would never cut anybody's throat. Especially now, he has to keep that knife sharp to slice his white bread.
Bob, this is serious.
Now listen, Sally be home safe and sound in no time. Meanwhile, we'll go home, curl up in front of the fireplace, and read Esquire.
Hmm. And I suppose my handyman... you'll build a fire.
With Esquire, who needs fires?
Sally, what's happened, honey? You're trembling.
They put me in a truck. In an engine room. The man kept shouting at me. I had to ride so fast.
Well, you're not making any sense, Sally.
Three dogs. A boiler room. The man yelled all sorts of names at me. And the dogs were barking. Everyone was grabbing and reaching and screaming.
Sounds like an afternoon at the butcher shop.
Did you get the story, Sally?
Yeah, the dictation, Sally. Did you get the dictation?
The dark. Kettles and bottles. They shot at me.
Let's skip the dull stuff. Did you get the story?
My hand hurt from riding so fast. Then the man chased me. They stole the notebook.
Yes, yes, they stole... What? They stole your notebook? Oh, why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I there?
Then they started shooting.
That's why I wasn't there.
The men stole the notebook. They grabbed it and ran away.
What happened, Chris?
Sally fainted. Just a second after you did.
Well, bring her to, Chris. Throw water in her face. Do something.
I am. I'm going to put her to bed. She's suffering from shock, and she won't be able to talk sense until she recovers.
Oh, but I've got to wake her up. I've got to get that story. The war could depend on it.
Don't worry. She'll be all right by morning.
By morning? The way the Russians are going, the war may be over by then. Henry Kaiser Day. Now, look, Chris. It's 10 o'clock. The sun's shining. The birds are singing. Why can't we wake Sally now?
Because she had a terrible experience and needs the rest. Don't get so upset, Bob.
Say, do you realize I may never see Vanescu again? People have been trying to kill that guy ever since I first met him in Europe years ago. Why, Hitler's been after him since 1925.
Oh, Bob, Hitler didn't even come into power until 1933.
I know, but Vanescu once got fingerprints all over a house he was painting. He probably started running the minute he finished dictating to Sally.
But why should he, Bob?
Because that story's dynamite. It must be, because those Gestapo agents wanted it badly enough to steal Sally's notebook.
Well, who are the Gestapo agents?
Well, that's the $5,000 question. If I knew, I wouldn't have to wait for that southern fried chicken to wake up. What a spot I'm in with 5,000 bucks tied up in this yarn.
I signed the firm's check. I'm the one that's in a spot.
All right, I'll sublease you half of my spot. Now what do we do?
Well, I'm just hoping Sally remembers that dictation.
Well, look, Chris, will you please go in the bedroom and wake her up?
Well?
Please.
Oh, all right.
Chris, what happened? Chris, stop screaming. What happened?
Oh, Sally's been kidnapped.
Well, that's no reason to... Are you sure?
She's gone. And so are all her bedclothes. They must have wrapped Sally in her blankets and carried her out that window. And then taken her away in a car.
Took her away in a car? Well, quick, let's look around the neighborhood. They may only have an A card.
Bob, we've got to call the police.
No, now, Chris, wait a second. Let me figure this out. If we let the police in on this, every other newspaperman in town will be in our story. And we'll be out $5,000.
Oh, who cares about money? Sally's life may be at stake.
Why, that's silly. They're not going to harm Sally. They don't dare.
And why not?
Because you can get 20 years for hitting anyone with glasses, and Sally's eyes are so bad that even her glasses wear glasses.
But why would anyone want to kidnap Sally?
I don't know. Maybe they think the government is all set to start a new kind of rationing. Say, maybe I've got it. Say, I think I've got it.
What?
Say, remember how nervous... Remember how nervous Sally was when she got home? Well, listen, Sally probably messed up her shorthand somehow, and they snatched her so she could read what Vanescu dictated.
But she can't read a billboard without her glasses, and here they are right here.
Yeah, which means she's safe until they find her glasses, and that gives us time to find the kidnappers. Wait here for me. I'll be back in an hour.
Where are you going?
The Cafe Maresc. It's a Romanian restaurant. Someone down there may know Vanescu.
Bob Kittredge is downstairs in the Cafe Maresco, asking about Vanescu. I'm having them send him up here to talk to you.
Why send him to me, Otto?
They have told him downstairs that you are Mrs. Vanescu. So make him believe you are Vanescu's widow.
That shouldn't be too difficult. But then what?
Try to persuade him to drop this investigation. And at the same time, find out what he has learned about us.
But what if he gets suspicious?
There's no reason why he should. See that you're crying when he arrives. It may help to soften him up.
Mm.
If you need me, I'll be in the next room.
Come in.
Oh, hello.
Mr. Kittredge.
That's right.
You were asking downstairs about the man. Gregory Vanescu.
That's right.
He is dead.
That's wrong.
My poor husband, Gregory, they've killed him.
Your husband, you say?
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Vanescu...
Oh, please, call me Olga. All my friends call me Olga.
Oh. Well, all my friends call me... No, you better call me Bob. Now, tell me... tell me, Olga, did Vanescu ever mention the Gestapo here in Washington?
The Gestapo here? Oh, no. You must be mistaken, Bob.
Oh, no, I'm not. I met your husband for the first time in Ankara. The Gestapo tried to shoot him. Then in Budapest, they tried to stab him, and in Paris, they put old razor blades in his fruit salad. I think they had something against him. Now, look, Olga... Isn't there something you know that might help me? Did Gregory leave any letters or information?
Let me see. Oh, of course, I should have thought of it before. My husband did have some letters in German. They may be in his room.
Oh, that's great. They may give us a lead. Get them for me, will you?
I will look for them very carefully. Wait, right here, Bobby. Otto. Otto.
Well, what about Kittredge?
He's going ahead with his investigation.
How much does he know?
Well, he's convinced the Gestapo killed Vanescu. And he knows enough to come to the Cafe Maresc looking for him. Perhaps it would be better to kill him, Otto.
No. I have a better plan. If we killed him, it would convince the police and other reporters that he really did have a story. Instead, we would destroy his reputation, make him a laughingstock, and then he can talk all he wants to. No one would believe him. No one would print anything he writes.
But how can we do that, Otto?
Well, see that he smokes one of these cigarettes. When he wakes up, he will find himself married to a very dear friend of mine, Laurie the Grove Girl.
That Belize Queen?
We'll send him to Niagara Falls for our honeymoon.
Oh, hey, where am I?
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls? What am I doing here? I'm in Washington.
No, you're in Niagara Falls. Can't you hear the water drip?
And who are you? What are you doing in my room?
Well, the name I got married under is Tilly Hofferkamp.
Tilly Hoffer who?
Hofferkamp.
Yeah.
Mm. Professionally, they call me Gloria the Glow Girl.
Gloria the Glow Girl. Well, stop glowing. This is a dim-out zone. Anyway, what does your marriage mean to me?
You're on your honeymoon, kid. Here's the marriage license.
What? Oh, no, you don't. I can get this annulled. I'll prove I was doped. I'll demand a saliva test. I'll get you ruled off the track for life.
That tip was right, boy. There he is, the great Kittredge, honeymooning with Gloria the Glow Girl.
Oh, now listen, fellas, I can explain everything.
Well, go right ahead, we're listening. We even brought someone along from Washington for you to do your explaining, too.
Someone from Washington, eh? Well, if it's Paul McNutt, tell him this is carrying the manpower shortage too far. Who'd you bring?
Me.
Chris.
I wanted to see this with my own eyes.
Chris. I wonder what Dr. Anthony would do in a spot like this. Now, Chris, I can explain everything. I've been framed. Hey, Gloria.
That'll teach you not to talk disrespectfully about your wife.
Hey, Chris.
And that'll teach you not to lie to me. Hey, Bob.
That'll teach me not to try and commit suicide. I almost got shot.
Like a shot, the curtain comes down on the first act of They Got Me Covered. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players presentation of Samuel Goldwyn's new hit comedy, starring Bob Hope, Dorothy Lamour, and Phyllis Ruth. And now the curtain rises on the second act of They Got Me Covered, starring Bob Hope as Bob Kittredge, Dorothy Lamour as Christina Hill, and Phyllis Ruth as Sally. After the Nazi agents Bob Kittredge was investigating gave Bob a dope cigarette and married him to a burlesque queen while he was under the influence of the drug, Bob's career as a reporter was ended. He finally succeeded in convincing Christina Hill that he had been framed. But Chris couldn't offer him any real consolation because he was still married to Gloria the Glow Girl.
What are you going to do about her, Bob? After all, she's your wife.
Yeah, but you're the girl I'm engaged to marry. Gloria was just a stooge. The dame I want to get my hands on is the dame who said she was Mrs. Vanescu.
Well, did you try the Cafe Moresque again?
Twice. The first time they threw me out in my face. Second time they reversed the procedure.
Well, haven't you any idea who she is or where to find her?
Well, I've got one lead, a handkerchief I picked up in her apartment that night.
Let me see it.
What are you going to do, hire bloodhounds?
It's saturated with an expensive perfume, probably very rare. We'll have one of the chemists at the FBI analyze it.
Oh, atta girl.
When we find out what it is, we check the records at the Customs Bureau and find out who imports the perfume and who sells it.
You follow that up, will you, Chris?
Of course.
Well, you're a great girl, Chris. The only girl I've ever cared about. The only girl in the whole world for me.
Do you mean that, Bob?
Certainly. I'll tell you more about it just as soon as I've seen my wife.
Bob.
Well, I'm going to find out who hired Gloria, and if I get over to that burlesque theater right now, I might get to see her. Yes, sir, I might get to see a lot of her. Gloria!
Say, you're just the one I wanted to see.
Look, I'm in a terrible jam, and you've got to get me out of it.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to do.
You know who framed me and why it was done. Now, you've got to give me the inside. You've just got to tell me the truth.
Sure I will, Bob. I just learned the truth myself. You were just about to catch up with a three-way spy ring of Nazis, fascists, and Japs.
Yeah?
Headed by a guy named Otto Fauscher.
Gloria! Oh. Who did it, Gloria? You hurt badly?
Yeah, Bob. Go to Baldinaco's florist shop, 1730 Connecticut Avenue. You'll find everything there.
Had I better get a doctor, mister?
It's too late. She's dead. Say, who are you?
My name is Baldinaco.
Baldinaco? Well, that's quite a coincidence, but we had to rush the plot to get it all in a half an hour. Say, are you the guy who runs a florist shop at 1730 Connecticut Avenue?
Yes, sir, Mr. Kittredge.
Kittredge? You know my name? Or is the laundry mark in my long underwear showing?
We know you. And at this time, we'll take more permanent care of you than we did with the cigarette. Hit him, Otto.
Oh!
Take the body to the La Roche Beauty Salon for safekeeping, Otto. We can dispose of it later.
Amalgamated News Agency, Christina Hill speaking.
This is Morgan at the FBI, Miss Hill. That perfume you asked me to analyze is called Reprise. It's imported by a New York firm, and its exclusive Washington agent is the La Roche Beauty Salon at 1757 Rhode Island Avenue, Northwest. Anything else you want, Miss Hill?
Not right now, but I may call you back very soon. I'm going to the La Roche Beauty Salon. Untie my hand.
Yeah, if you did not resist so much, Miss Hill, it would be easier on all of us.
What did you do with Bob Kittredge and Sally? Where are they? I want to see Bob Kittredge and Sally.
Well, now that can be arranged immediately. You'll find them right in there.
Well, Chris, welcome to our little gathering. That's Sally tied up in that other corner.
Sally? Oh, Bob, you found her.
Well, I didn't exactly find her. The same gang that threw you in here threw me in here with her. What time do the guns go off?
Oh, Bob, how can you be so calm? Why doesn't Sally say anything?
They had her gag when they threw me in here.
Well, why didn't you take the gag off?
I did, but after about 10 minutes, I put her right back on her. How could a girl that young learn that kind of language?
How are we going to get out of here, Bob? I need to make a phone call.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Just kick on the door and tell him you want to call the cops.
Oh, be serious, Bob.
Listen, Chris, I was never more serious in my life. If we don't get out of here in a hurry, we don't get out of here, period.
What does that mean?
It means we're stuck. I did have one idea, but there's a little matter of my hands and feet being tied.
Well, that leaves us pretty helpless.
Of course, if I could wiggle over to you, maybe we could put our backs together and untie each other's hands.
Then try to wiggle over here.
Okay. Now I know how a vacuum cleaner feels. Gee, this is tough. I gotta have a talk with that Fibber McGee.
Why?
Well, that Johnson's glow coat may look good, but it tastes awful.
Okay, here you are, Bob. Mm-hmm. Now, just raise yourself up a bit, and, okay. And I'll try to untie those knots.
Oh, fine.
There. I think I untied a string.
Yeah, that's swell. Great.
Are your hands free?
No, but you loosened my girdle. There. There, you finally got my hands.
Well, now what do we do?
You and Sally do nothing but stay right there until I get back.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm
going
to try to sneak into one of those rooms where they give the beauty treatments. If I wrap myself up in one of those sheets the women wear and smear some cold cream on my face, maybe I can get to a phone and call the cops.
You're next to the beauty clay treatment, madam.
Who, me?
Who, me?
Yes, madam.
Well, you have to hurry. I have to go home and take care of the kids so the cook can go out with my husband. Tell me, do you think my type of face will ever come back?
Well, we'll do our best to bring it partway back.
Well, I've gone to a lot of beauty salons. You know what Helena Rubinstein said when she saw me?
What?
Ah!
If madam will excuse me, I have another client in the next room.
Go right ahead. Would you hand me the phone?
Certainly, madam. And if madam wants anything, all she has to do is call.
Thanks, Brenda.
Say, you ain't kidding, sister. Hello?
Federal Bureau of Investigation, Morgan speaking.
Say, this is Bob Kittredge, Morgan. Christina Hill, Sally and I are prisoners at the La Roche Beauty Salon, 1757.
I've got the address. We'll be right over, Kittredge. You've got nothing to worry about.
Kittredge!
Whoops. Here's the head man. I think he's after my head.
Mr. Vanesco. Yes. Baldanaco, Nishimura, Holtz. Kittredge is loose. He was just talking with somebody on the phone. Lock all the doors, and when you see him, shoot to kill.
Let's get behind these curtains and keep quiet, Chris, and keep Sally quiet. This is their main meeting room. Hey, they're coming back in here.
All right, gentlemen. Gentlemen, take your places, please. The time has come. As long as Kittredge and the woman have escaped, we must execute our plan immediately. I want no slip-ups, no bungling, even if it costs you your lives. We will ruin Washington first and then every important city in the United States. All right, unlock the closet, Holtz. I will distribute the dynamite.
Stick them up, boys. I said stick them up.
Help, they got me covered.
You're not covered, Bob.
I'm not, then get back in front of me, you coward.
But, Bob, those are the FBI men. They just captured the spies.
They did? Isn't radio wonderful, folks? It took up 20 minutes and a 4-mile chase to do that in the picture.
Well, I guess that ends the story, Bob. and this is where the hero usually kisses the girl.
Yeah, and up to now in our pictures, it's always been Bing Crosby. But I'll show everyone who the better lover is, me or Bing Crosby. Come here.
Yes, sir, folks, the best kisses of all are at the Kraft Music Hall.
Thank you, Bob Hope, Dorothy L'Amour, and Phyllis Ruth for your swell performances in They Got Me Covered.
Well, I hope our listeners had as much fun as we did, Mr. Bradley. And it's always a pleasure to appear on this program for the benefit of the Motion Picture Relief Fund. In just a moment, Bob Hope is going to be back to tell you about next week's great show. But first, a word from America's foremost beauty authorities, your hostess, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss L'Amour. You know, I always used to picture my listeners in front of a makeup mirror, smoothing on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. But from letters I've received recently, I see the picture has changed considerably. Well, not only do you have my face cream at home, you have it in your locker at the war plant, or in your desk at the office for a quick beauty treatment before you go to a service dance. You depend on it completely, you tell me, because you've found my cream the perfect cream for these busy days. Yes, thousands of women have discovered there's everything they need for regular beauty care in this one jar of face cream, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. First of all, the beauty of cleanliness. My face cream cleans your skin thoroughly, leaves it immaculate. But that isn't all Lady Esther face cream does for you. It softens your skin. It helps nature refine the pores. And it leaves a lovely, smooth base for your powder. So you see, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream is a complete beauty treatment in itself. And that's why your skin looks so appealingly fresh and seems so much softer and smoother.
Here he is again, Bob Hope.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, Lady Esther will present the Screen Guild Players in Louisiana Purchase, starring William Gaxton, Annabella, and Victor Moore. I know you'll enjoy it.
Next week, then, Lady Esther will present William Gaxton, Annabella, and Victor Moore in Louisiana Purchase. Be sure to listen. Bob Hope and Dorothy L'Amour can currently be seen in Paramount's all-star production, Star Spangled Rhythm. Phyllis Ruth can now be seen in They Got Me Covered. Music on tonight's show was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Screen Guild Players are presented every Monday night at this time by Lady Esther. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you. Good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.